الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله أضعف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عدد ما في علم الله، صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك. أما بعد، today we're going to speak about a very big sickness, a very big malady, which is known as jealousy, hasad, and its remedy. We look into Mawlana Thanwi's words on jealousy, rahmatullah alayh, which is a very, very bad internal malady and a dangerous one too. Besides, it is very common, particularly among students, among talaba. It's very, very common. Three things. We will recount Mawlana Thanwi, his sayings, rahmatullah alayh, on jealousy, one by one, and simultaneously comment on them. He says in one of them, in one human condition of human feelings is helplessness. That's one of the conditions of man, of human feelings, helplessness. And there is a deed based on the prompting in which a man is a sinner. There is another deed opposite of that quality which causes him to blame someone. What's the opposite of that? He must praise him. If he is inclined to turn away from someone, then he must meet him and respect him and take the initiative in greeting him and to be kind to him. Mufti Taqi Usman is going to break down this and is going to comment on it. What is jealousy? What is hasad? Mufti Saab Damat Barakatum says, in this brief saying, the respected Mawlana has put together all the possible topics of jealousy. What is jealousy? What is hasad? Jealousy is that a person feels grieved at anyone receiving good and hopes that he should come down and lose everything. Examples. Supposing my classmate comes out first in the examination, and it's quite common among students, talaba. Supposing my classmate comes out first in the examination, I grudge that in my heart. I grudge that. Why did he get more marks than me? I wish in my heart that he should get a lower position next time. Even though I do not stand first in the exams, I wish he gets a lower position. This feeling is jealousy and hasad. Another example is of a wealthy man. If another man wishes that he should lose his money and his income, then this is jealousy. Or if there's a very well-known man, a renowned person, to whom many people turn, and someone else burns in his heart because of his popularity, and longs that he should become dishonorable, then he has jealousy for the well-known man. There is a trait called ghibta, which can be translated as emulation, and Mufti Sahib translates it here as envy. If anyone looks at the blessings of someone, he looks at the blessings of someone, he longs and he has that talab that Allah may provide him too a similar blessing without depriving the first person of his blessing, but he wants to get like that too. That blessing may be wealth or health or knowledge, and the envious person wishes for the same things for himself, wealth, health, knowledge, without the other losing his blessings, then this is good. This is matloob. This is, in fact, this is mustahab fid deen. This is called ghibta, emulation. You seek to emulate that person. You want to be like him. There's that talab and desire that he possesses. He wishes to possess the same things for himself, all these goodness, without the other person losing his blessings. This is known as ghibta, emulation, and it is not disallowed. Jealousy is that the other person may be deprived of his blessings. He may lose his blessings. Whether he gets them or not, that doesn't matter. But envy, emulation, or ghibta is not so. If only the heart is sad. Jealousy is a very evil trait and a very big, big dangerous sickness, destructive illness. However, if a man only gets the thought in his mind, what's happening? Only the thought comes in his mind that a certain person has more blessings than him, and he feels bad about it and grieved about it without doing anything. He doesn't do anything, but that thought comes in. Then the mere thought is involuntary. It is ghair ikhtiyari, and he's not blameworthy for that. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that this is a human feeling for which man is really helpless. Can't avoid that. It comes in involuntary, ghair ikhtiyari. As long as it is only within himself and it is not reflected in any action and he does not obey its demands, that's okay. This far, it is not sinful. Putting promptings into shape is sin. Putting promptings into shape is sin. This will be sinful. If he does something out of jealousy, wishing to harm the other, for instance, he may publish his evils so that his honorable position is dampened, or he may devise ways to deprive him of his wealth or his health or his knowledge so that people lose interest in him, or he may pray against him to Allah to take away his blessings, or he may try to degrade him by words, or he may not show respect to him by ignoring him, etc. In such cases, it is a sin to be jealous of someone. Only as long as it is merely in the mind and is not put into action, there is no sin, because that is an involuntary feeling. But the thought too is bad. This thought is bad. Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah Alayhi, has written in the Ihya'ul Ulum that though the thought that comes in the mind may be involuntary, without choice, and man is helpless, yet this thought is very, very dangerous. If it is allowed to remain in the mind for some time, then it will cause the person to commit sin and do something against his victim. Therefore, do not let the thought bother you in your mind, but dismiss it. Dismiss it. So here's the cure. Here's the a prescription. It is a threefold remedy. Rather, he must do three things to remove the thought. First, tell yourself that the thought received is evil. You have to speak to yourself. Talk to yourself that the thought received is evil, and you must not think about a Muslim along these lines. That's the first step. Next, think of the good things of the man. He has some good things. He must have some good things. Think about the good things of the man and count his praiseworthy qualities and remember his favors. Remember his favors. Number three, force yourself to pray for him. Force yourself to make dua for him, that Allah may give him more blessings. May Allah give him more blessings. But you have to force yourself to do that. This might be a very bitter pill to swallow, because it involves doing something that the heart does not like. The heart does not like it. So, pray for his prosperity. And when you meet him, be the first to greet him and give him respect. Tell other people of his good qualities. Though you may find it difficult, this is a remedy for jealousy, which is a threefold remedy. Again, first, you have to think that this is an evil. Tell yourself that this thought is evil, and you must not think about a Muslim along these lines. That's the first step. Next, think of the good things of the man. Count his praiseworthy qualities and remember his favors. And third, force yourself now to do good to him, to pray for him, make dua, that Allah may give him more blessings. But this third one is a very bitter pill to swallow, because it involves doing something that the heart doesn't like. So pray for his prosperity. And when you meet him, be the first to greet him and give him respect. Tell other people of his good qualities. Though you may find it difficult, this is a remedy for jealousy. If you don't do this, you will turn to destruction. And what is so bad about these qualities is sometimes we live with these illnesses. We live with them and we die with them, ma'adallah. And the person fasts the whole of Ramadan, performs salat and zakat and all these things, and jealousy is within his heart, and he is destroying himself. When we have a physical sickness, we tend to it immediately, ma'adallah. If it's diabetes, we treat it. If it is a fever, we treat it. Cold, we treat it. If it is a cancer, we seek treatment for the cancer. Allahumma sayyiban nafiya. Allahumma sayyiban nafiya. So we treat those diseases and sicknesses, and we would like to treat them in their early stages so that these sicknesses and diseases do not cause us harm. But we are so unmindful, may Allah forgive us. We are so unmindful to these internal sicknesses which are so detrimental and destructive to us. If we don't do this and try to combat this jealousy with this threefold remedy, you will turn to destruction. Mufti Taqi Usmani continues, Damat Barakatum, if you do not do these three things, then the involuntary thought which you had inside of you, and it came in by itself, it was Ghayr Ikhtiyari, that will lead you to wrongdoing and ruin. So yeah, the thought comes in. Jealousy comes in. I'm jealous of this person. But if you don't battle it and counteract it with these three things, this threefold remedy, then the involuntary thought will lead you to wrongdoing and ruin. If you do them, then inshallah, the involuntary thought, which is Ghayr Ikhtiyari, will be forgiven. Now let us review the Maulana's saying because it is so deep. Maulana Thanvi Alayhi Rahmah says few things, but as you will realize, these few things are so deep that Mufti Taqi Usmani expands on it. Explanation. There is the human feeling, which is the involuntary thought, ghair ikhtiyari, that invades the mind uninvited. Like when someone overtakes you and you are hurt at heart for this. And this quality of jealousy, Mufti Saab says, it is very common among students, talaba, and very, very common amongst scholars, amongst ulama. Very common. So there's a human feeling, which is the involuntary thought, ghair ikhtiyari, without choice, that invades the mind, uninvited, it comes in. Like when someone overtakes you, he goes ahead of you, and you are hurt at heart for this. Here man is helpless, for this thought that comes in, man is helpless. And Allah will not call you to account for this. Allah wouldn't call you to account for this because it's an involuntary thought, action. The second thing is when one puts the thought into action, to put the thought into action, like by reviling the man, backbiting him, or degrading him, or you put the thought into action. Here he commits a sin now because what you are doing is voluntary. The third course is that one goes against this thought. Suppose that you are prompted to speak out against a man, but you do the opposite, the other thing, and you praise him. Instead of speaking out against him, you praise him and pray for him and make dua for him. Here you get reward. You get reward. The result of going against Mukhalafa, the devil, the shaitan, brings this thought to a person's mind that he may go to hell because the follow-up after a jealous thought ruins the jealous person. And that's why the shaitan brings it in through waswasa. The shaitan brings this thought to a person's mind. Why? That he may go to hell. Because the follow-up after a jealous thought ruins the jealous person. However, if he does the reverse of the demand of jealousy and befriends the man or thinks highly of him, he earns good deeds and rewards. Here, Mufti Saab asks the question, is sin a good thing? One of our worthy elders, Baba Najmi Ahsan, Rahmatullah Alayhi, an exemplary companion of Maulana Thanawi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to speak strange and valuable words. One day, Baba Najmi Ahsan, Alayhi Rahmah, said, sin is a very good thing. Sin is a very good thing. We asked, oh dear Maulana, sin and a good thing? We don't understand. We do not understand. He confirmed. He said, yes, sin is a very good thing. For if the heart is inclined to commit a sin and is resisted, then the person's ranks are elevated. Subhanallah. If there were no sins, then the ranks would not be elevated and they wouldn't keep going up. Indeed, sin incites man to do wrong. And he not only rejects this suggestion, but he does the pious thing, which results that his degrees are raised manifold. Compare two men. Think, there is a man who has never had a thought of committing a sin. Never had a thought of committing a sin. And has never had an opportunity to even commit sin. Very pious he is. He was safe from sin and he passed away. Insha'Allah, he will not be punished and he will get deliverance, his najat, inshallah. But there's another man who is always tempted to commit a sin at every step temptation, and he also gets plenty of opportunities to do the sin. But somehow, by the grace of Allah, he saves himself from sin. He saves himself from sin, fighting off every temptation till he goes to his grave. Allahu Akbar. Baba Najmi Ahsan Rahmatullah Alayhi said that the second man who resisted sins and fought against it has much higher ranks than the first. He asked, why? And then answered, because of sins. This is why sins are very good. Ranks are raised because of resisting sins. The Britishers, Sheikh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hassan, Rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh al-Hind, who fought the war of independence against the Britishers. Subhanallah, they were in the forefront, the scholars of Dioband, Darul Uloom Dioband, against the war against Britain, the Britishers who were in India. So Sheikh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hassan Rahmatullah alayhi, who fought the war of independence against the Britishers and waged jihad, was very averse to the Britishers. He hated everything connected with them. And that is why the scholars in those times, anything associated to the Britishers, they condemned it. He hated everything connected with them, and his hatred bordered on hysterical limits. Someone remarked, Maulana, you always describe the evils of the Britishers. Surely, they have some good qualities. There isn't anything bad in this world without some good associated with it. Do describe some of their good things sometimes. The Sheikh al-Hind, Rahmatullah alayhi, said, yes, brother, that's true. If we make deer kebab, they would be delicious. If we make deer kebab, that would be delicious. This is the good in them. Summary. Nevertheless, the good side of sin is that if the inclination is curbed, the ranks of the person who fights them will be elevated. Allahu Akbar. Similarly, when the thoughts of jealousy is thrown off, also, this is instrumental in raising ranks. Every demand of sin, when rejected, is means of higher degrees. Hence, if you get evil suggestions of jealousy, make them a means of improving your rank. Inshallah, you will not be harmed by the thoughts. May Allah enable me and all of you to conduct ourselves according to these teachings. Ameen. Then he goes on now, part two of the remedy. So remember, in this first part, basically, the threefold remedy, which is to think about the thought as being a very evil thought. Then think about the good qualities of the man, the good things, count his praiseworthy qualities, remember his favors. Bad thought inside, not good. Bad thought, it should come out, it should not stay. I shouldn't think so. Think about the man, good qualities, good sifat, his blessings, remember his favors. And third step is to pray, to make dua. Pray for him that Allah may give him more blessings, making dua. And this is the bitter pill, making dua for him, praying for his prosperity. When you meet him, be the first to greet him. Pray for him, show him respect, greet him, give him respect, tell other people of his good qualities. This is the threefold remedy. Part two of it, the jealous burns with jealousy. He burns inside. We continue to discuss jealousy. It is, as we have seen, a very serious malady. May Allah protect all of us from it. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. The Sufis say that jealousy is fire. Because a jealous person's heart burns and burns and burns. An Arab poet, Shair, has said, "An-naru ta'kulu ba'daha." Fire eats its own self. Fire eats part of itself. It eats its own self. In lam tajid ma ta'kul. If it cannot find anything else to eat, fire will eat its own self and part of it will devour part. An-naru ta'kulu ba'daha. In lam tajid ma ta'kul. He compares, the Arab poet has compared jealousy to fire, whose characteristic and trait is that part of fire will eat other parts if it does not get to eat anything else. For instance, if it touches wood, then the fire will consume it. And when there is no wood left, it will devour itself like a cannibal. It will devour itself like a cannibal. The same may be said of jealousy. A jealous person harms other people. He's like fire. He harms other people. But when he cannot do it, then he will burn within himself and become sick and start to eat himself up just like fire and burn and burn and burn and become sick. The jealous, and what's deep here, the jealous questions divine decree. When he is jealous, he's actually questioning divine decree, qadha. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayhi, wa nawwarallahu marqadahu, wa nafa'ana bi ulumihim amin, said, jealousy is a grave, grave sin. If we ponder over it, a jealous person rarely raises objection to Allah's decree and distribution. He didn't like how Allah distributed things. He's raising objection to that and to Allah's qadha. He does not like anyone else to get some favor or blessing. No. But Allah has said that He, Allah, gives what He will, what He wills, to whomsoever He wills. Allah gives, He says, He gives what He wills to whomsoever He wills. A jealous person doesn't like that, so he's disagreeing with Allah. The noble Quran tells us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ and covet not, desire not, long not, لَا تَتَمَنَّوْا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ that which Allah has favored, بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ some of you with over some, and covet not that whereby Allah has excelled some of you above the others. In other words, do not long for something bestowed on others and not on you. These are involuntary blessings. We had no choice in the matter. This is Allah's distribution. This whole system is Allah's. Someone is healthy, but not wealthy. Another has wealth, but not good health. Someone has knowledge, but lacks wealth. Allah has given fame and renown to someone, but not children. Allah, He makes decisions, and no one can object to that. This is Allah's system. This is Allah's distribution. Look at what you are given. The jealous person does not look at what blessings he is favored with, but he wishes that the blessings of others should be taken away and not looking at his own blessings. If he will see that while another person has some blessings, yes, another person has some blessings, but he too has been blessed with some other things. Man is wealthy, but you are healthy. What's your problem? When he does that, he will not be jealous anymore. If others have wealth, then he has, if others have wealth, they have wealth. Okay. But he has knowledge. He has ilm. That's why the famous maqula, words of wisdom, radina, radina bi qismatil jabbari fina. We are happy with the qismat and distribution of Allah, al-jabbar, the almighty, the compeller. With his distribution amongst us, we are happy with that. Radina bi qismatil jabbari fina. We are happy with the qismat, with the partitioning of al-jabbar amongst us. Lana ilmun walil juhali mal. We have knowledge, and the juhal, the ignorant ones, have wealth. Radina bi qismatil jabbari fina. Lana ilmun walil juhali mal. Why then should a man grieve? He must be pleased with Allah's decision, Allah's kismat, kismatul jabbar, Allah's qadha, Allah's decree. Anyway, the worst thing with jealousy is that the jealous person raises objection on divine decree. That's the worst thing about it. So we must save ourselves from it. Regard these thoughts as bad. As stated already, man is helpless in receiving involuntary thoughts of jealousy, and there is no sin against that. However, these involuntary thoughts are also dangerous, for they may lead man to commit sin. Hence, it is necessary to remove them by realizing that they are bad and by doing contrary things. That's the secret. Do the opposite to what they demand. Do the opposite. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi says, the antidote of the voluntary is also voluntary. The antidote of the voluntary is also voluntary. Thus, as for that which grows from jealousy, adopt voluntarily the opposites. You adopt with choice, voluntarily adopt the opposites. Thus, instead of backbiting the person of whom you are jealous, praise him with your tongue. Even if your soul is unwilling, praise him with your tongue. For you at least have control over your tongue. Wow. You have control over your tongues. Meet him with humility and converse with him. And when he is troubled, express grief with your tongue, both on his face and in the presence of others. Give him respect when you meet him and give him gifts. If you do it for some time, then jealousy will be eliminated. Do it at least 20 times. Do it at least 20 times clearly and fasa isa. This means that if doing something is in one's power, then quitting it is also in his power. If you could do it and follow the demands of jealousy, then to quit it and to go opposite is also in your power. If you get evil thoughts because of jealousy, that you may beat him or harm him in some way, and indeed this is within your ability, then the converse too is within your ability. Praise the person of whom you are jealous. Praise him. For instance, if you wish to defame him, do the opposite. You must begin to praise him in front of other people. This is within your powers. So do what is within your powers. So put it into action. Maulana Thanawi alayhi rahma says, adopt by your own choice the converse of whatever jealousy breeds, so that instead of backbiting him, praise the person with whom you are jealous. Your heart will not agree, but you must prevail over it and praise him, though your soul finds it difficult. Now the heart longs to abuse the other person of whom you are jealous. The heart longs to abuse him, but you are told to do the opposite and to praise him. This does not imply a false praise. No, this is not false praise, but true real praise, for there is nothing in this world. So it doesn't have to be false praise. But this is true, real praise. For there is nothing at all in this world that does not have an aspect praiseworthy. And this is so deep. There is nothing in this world that does not have an aspect praiseworthy. A man may be how bad he is. But you know what? There's something in him that is praiseworthy. So search for this aspect in that person and praise him for that. It wouldn't be false praise. It's real praise. You have to look for that and praise him. Welcome by him. Junaid Baghdadi and the thief. Here's the story with a moral in it. Junaid Baghdadi is known to the Islamic world. Great scholar, great alim, qazi, judge, as well as one of the arifin and the awliya, one of the great saints and men of Allah, Junaid Baghdadi. Maulana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi has written about an event in the life of Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Junaid al-Baghdadi alayhi rahma was going somewhere and came across a man on the scaffold of execution, about to be executed. And he had his right hand and left foot amputated. So obviously this man is a thief. He had his right hand and left foot amputated. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi asked people for the reason of it. Why? How come right hand, left hand, and he's about to be executed. What's going on? They said that he had committed theft. And the first time he did it, his right hand was cut off, according to the Sharia. The second time he did the theft, his left foot was amputated. And when he did not mend his ways, he is being executed and killed for it now. Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, advanced to the man and kissed his dangling leg, which of course will be the right leg that he has, the only leg. Junaid Baghdadi alayhi rahma advanced to this man and kissed his dangling leg. Wow. The people exclaimed, "Oh great man," because everybody at that time they knew Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi. "Oh great man that you are. Do you kiss the feet of this incorrigible thief? You kiss his feet? Why? We cannot understand. Why? Why, Hazrat? Why?" Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi said, "This man has a very good trait. This man has a very good trait, a very, very good quality. And that trait and quality is steadfastness. He has the quality of istiqamat. And that is a very beautiful quality, steadfastness. I have kissed this trait of istiqamat and steadfastness in him. Though he has used this quality in a wrong way, though he has used this quality in a wrong and sinful way, but I have still kissed it. Because the quality of steadfastness is by itself praiseworthy. This quality by itself is praiseworthy, but he used it in the wrong way. If he had put it to good use, then he would have achieved great progress." So there's absolutely nothing in this world except there is some good and some praiseworthy thing connected to it. But we have a quality, is that we have two eyes, and one of the eyes we take it to look at us, vanity, ujub, pride, and we look at ourselves as being good with one eye, and we take the eye to look at the other. We take the other eye to look at bad qualities of people, and all we could see is bad in them. One eye, we put it on ourselves, and we look at the goodness within ourselves, and the other eye to look at faults and bad things. We have to do the opposite. Do the opposite means take one eye and put it on yourself and see your own faults. Be like the peacock. Hazrat Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, great Persian Sheikh, scholar, alim, who wrote the Bustan of Saadi and the Gulistan of Saadi. Sheikh Saadi said, to be like the peacock. What about the peacock? People praise the peacock. They praise the peacock. What beautiful plumage and feathers the peacock has. But the peacock looks at his legs and is ashamed of its feet, because the peacock has ugly feet. So be like that. You have to take one eye and put it on our faults. One eye on our faults, and the other eye to see the good in people. So Sheikh Junaidi said, I have kissed this trait. Though he has used this quality in a wrong and sinful way, the quality of steadfastness is by itself praiseworthy. If he had put it to good use, then he would have achieved great progress. So every man, al-hasil, every man has some good quality. Therefore, every person owns some laudable traits. The poet Iqbal, alayhi rahmah, said a very wise thing in a poem for children, the gist of which is that there is nothing worthless in life. There is nothing worthless in life. And there is no one that is really evil in nature's system. Thus, Allah has created everything with wisdom. So praise the worthy. Hence, find out the good characteristics of the person of whom you are jealous, and then describe it to men. Your heart might find this unbearable, but let it be, because this is the only way to cure it of jealousy. This is why Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, instead of backbiting him, praise him. Praise him with your tongue, even if the soul finds it hard, for your tongue is in your control. Meet him humbly. The next thing is that you should meet the object of your jealousy with humbleness and converse with him politely. Express grief when he is hurt. The third thing is that when he faces misfortune, express grief with your tongue, not only to him but to other people also. And fourthly, give him respect when you happen to meet him. Give him gifts. The fifth thing is that give him gifts, and so on, so that his heart grows love for you and your heart for him. There are people who might bring themselves to do many things. There are people who might bring themselves to do many, many things, but they will not spend money easily. Some people like that. When it comes to money, they just can't spend. They will not spend money easily. There are people who might bring themselves to do many things, but they will not spend money easily. They won't spend money easily. It weighs heavily on them. But you have to swallow this bitter pill too. You have to swallow this bitter pill. When you spend money on a gift for him, your money will go to the object of your jealousy and hatred, but you have to do it in opposition to the jealousy. Inshallah, the result will be that the malady of jealousy will be cured. Do it often. Do it often. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi said that these things are to be done often, at least 20 times. Jealousy will be eliminated. This prescription was written by the respected Maulana to a man who had sought a treatment for jealousy, for the jealousy he harbored against someone. The difference between jealousy and malice. The Maulana wrote in answer to another letter, if you are pleased on hearing of someone's loss or ill fortune, then this is based on jealousy. And if you had been previously hurt by that person, then your conduct is based on grudge or malice. But you are not answerable for the thought alone. If it is given practical shape, then there is questioning, for the action is voluntary, and to keep away from it is within one's powers. However, it is necessary to weaken the nafs, to weaken the base thought, weaken the base idea, so that it does not grow, weaken it. The method to do that is to feel ashamed and repent to Allah, the Exalted, and pray to Him, Allah, that He may remove it. And you should help the other person with money, or physically, or with prayer. In this way, the base will be non-existent and fasa'isa. The Mawlana has distinguished between jealousy, hasad, and malice, bughd. The former is to be happy at someone else's reverses, and the latter, malice, is to have the same feeling for someone who has hurt you previously, and you bear hatred for him because of that. You are pleased at his reverses because he had hurt you earlier. You had grudge and malice against him, and you longed to avenge him, but you could not do that. You could not do so. And when he suffered reverses, you rejoiced. This is malice. We will discuss it later, inshallah. Here the Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi defined the difference and said that jealousy is to be pleased with someone's reverses, but malice is to be pleased with the reverses of one against whom you bore hatred because he had hurt you previously. Weaken the thought. Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, the thought itself will not be questioned. The invited thoughts in the mind are not answerable, but if they are put in shape, they will have to be accounted for. And if the other person is wronged in any way, then you will have to answer for that. This action on your part is by your choice, and you also have choice to avoid it. Hence, it is necessary to weaken the thought so that it does not grow. To do this, you must be ashamed, repent to Allah, and pray to Him that He should remove it from you. And you should help the person for whom you hold the jealousy by wealth, or physically, or through prayer and dua. The thought will disappear. A story of the devil, of the shaitan. Short story, anecdote of the devil. May Allah protect us. Jealousy is a very, very bad thing and sick disease, particularly among the scholars, particularly amongst the ulama. Very big sickness amongst the ulama. Ilm and knowledge has the characteristic of pride, kibr, ujub, takabbur. Knowledge has the characteristic of pride. So sometimes one cannot see, sometimes one just simply cannot see another progress and prosper. He just can't see that. Burns him up inside. My father, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, related that a man dreamt of the shaitan as a traveling salesman. A man once had a dream, and he dreamt shaitan as a traveling salesman, going from village to village, carrying on his shoulder many packets of merchandise made up of strange wares, like feces. One package is a package of feces, package of wine, package of pus, and all manner of impurities. Something was written on every packet that he was selling. Something was written on every packet, like jealousy. His packet is jealousy. His packet is malice. His packet is love of wealth. His packet is love of status, and so on. Someone asked the devil and the shaitan where he was carrying all those things. He said, this is trade merchandise, bhai. Trade merchandise. I'm going to sell it. The man asked, who will buy these impurities from you? The shaitan, the devil said, I know the trade centers where these things are in demand. The love of wealth will be sold to merchants. They're going to buy that, like hot bread. The love of wealth will be sold to merchants. The scholars the alims, the ulama, will buy the love of status and jealousy like that. They are going to buy the love of status, status and fame and popularity and jealousy, jealousy. They will buy it off. They will buy it off on the spot. We seek refuge in Allah. May He protect us all from it. Ameen. Learning breeds love of status and jealousy. Learning breeds love of status and jealousy. If knowledge is not based with sincerity, if knowledge, listen carefully, if knowledge, ilm, is not based with sincerity and ikhlas, then it breeds love of status. That's the package there. Love of status. May barahu. Love of status. Which gives rise now. It gives rise to jealousy. Love of status. And then that gives rise to jealousy. A scholar does not like to see another scholar overtake him. That's why this knowledge of tazkiyah is so beneficial. But it's so beneficial for the talaba and the ulama, even more than the awam mujahid. But people don't realize it. They don't realize it. Because despite all of that, at the end of the day, when we meet Allah, what did you do? Bimajtani, what have you brought for me? What have you done? A scholar, an alim, does not like to see another alim overtake him. He frets. Why is he more famous? Why do people throng around him? Why is he so famous? People talking about him. Why do people throng around him? Big crowd, this, that. If knowledge and learning are accompanied with sincerity, and learning is for Allah's sake, then there is no question of love of status, love for status and jealousy growing. There is no question for that amongst the ulama, if they had ikhlas and was for the sake of Allah. Rather, such a sincere alim and scholar would be pleased if another scholar attains greater proficiency, he would be pleased. May Allah grant all of us sincerity. Ameen. Maulana Muhammad Idris, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah raise his ranks. Maulana Muhammad Idris, ameen, Kandalwi, rahmatullah alayhi, was the classmate of my father, my dear father, Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi, Maulana Muhammad Idris, classmates, same class. Both had great love for one another, and two big alims, two top alims. Both had great love for one another, and he always, Maulana Idris, always kept two copies of my father's books. Since he also wrote books, he gave his writings the same titles my father gave to his books. When my father composed the tafsir of the Holy Quran entitled Ma'ariful Quran, he also composed the tafsir with the same name, Ma'ariful Quran. My respected father, rahmatullah alayh, wrote a book, Dawa-e-Mirza. And he too wrote a book entitled Dawa-e-Mirza. He wrote many books with the same titles as my father wrote. You see what jealousy? No, jealousy mars friendship. It spoils friendship. He resided in Lahore. Once I went to Lahore and met him. He said, convey my salam to Maulana Shafi. Convey my salam to Maulvi Shafi. He never used the word Maulana. He said, convey my salam to Maulvi Shafi. He said, our friendship is 52 years old. Our friendship is 52 years old. And during this period, we have not had even a slight disagreement. And he asked, tell me why is that so? Tell me why is that so? The Maulis, the Maulanas, disagree only if there is jealousy for one another. Why he got ahead? Jealousy breeds hatred and their mutual relationship goes bad. All praise belongs to Allah, he says. All praise belongs to Allah. Jealousy, hasad, has not cropped up between Maulana Mufti Shafi and myself. We never had that. and inshallah never will. 52 years now our friendship existed. Exemplary friendship. He went on to ask, tell me why we have not been jealous. Tell me. I submitted, Mufti Sahib says, you tell me, do tell me. He asked, have you read Kafiya? I answered that I had. And he asked, if I had read about Tawabi therein, and I confirmed that I had. Then he asked, there is a naat, poetry of praise, within that. Have you read that? I said, I have read it. Then he explained to me that there were two kinds of naat and spoke of some technical words. Then he elaborated, O Maulvi, speaking to Mufti Taqi Usmani, O Maulvi, I Maulvi, when I see any scholarly work of Mufti Maulana, of Maulvi Shafi, you always call him Maulvi Shafi, when I see any scholarly work of Maulvi Shafi, I imagine that though he has written the book, and it is his work, but through him, I see it as also being mine. I see it as mine also. This is why jealousy has never interrupted our long friendship. When he does something, good work, good books, I see it as being my work. I see it as these books are also mine. Through him, it's also mine. This is why jealousy has never interrupted our long friendship. May Allah grant us this sentiment, to all of us. Ameen. So as he brings the topic to a close, he says, sincerity, this is the key, and especially for alims to remember, and for every one of us, sincerity and servitude with knowledge. Therefore, sincerity is a must. Sincerity is fard. It is a must with ilm and learning. Without that, forget it. Bekar. Knowledge must be acquired only for Allah's sake, not to gain excellence over others. Not to gain excellence over others, otherwise wasting time. The Honorable Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said a very, very beautiful thing. The Sheikh of Mufti Taqi. He said, has Allah given us knowledge to show it off to others? Is this why? Has Allah given us knowledge to show it off to others? But what the verse is, إِنَّمَا يَكْشَى اللَّهِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَىٰ. Listen, Allah has bestowed on you a blessing. Allah has bestowed on you a blessing. Use it in a proper way, which is to let others profit from it and to serve them. You are a servant and the other creatures are the served. Always remember that. You are a servant and the other creatures are the served. This feeling of service and khidmat should rise in man with his learning. The more he learns, the more knowledge he gets, then this feeling of khidmat and service should rise in man with his learning. He must not impress upon them excellence and show it off to others. Jealousy will not grow. When sincerity and ikhlas rarely takes root, and if you see another man overtake you now in learning, another man overtakes you in learning, he's a better alim, a greater scholar, doing more work, more service. When this sincerity takes root, and if you see another man overtake you in learning, and he's a means of benefit to men, you will believe that your purpose is being served. And this is a deep statement because of your... You will believe that your purpose is being served because I was sent here. I was given this knowledge to impart it, to serve people. They are deserved. For example, if you have to serve drinks to 1,000 people and you're alone, you have to serve drinks to 1,000 people. But if others come and another man serves 500, he has relieved you of serving 500 and helped you in your task. So when other people, Allah has taken work from them, they have made your job easier. You're building a house, you're alone, but people come and they help you. You like that. So why not be happy when people are helping you for the deen and imparting knowledge to? You must be pleased with that and not sad. Fame is bad, you know. Fame is bad. Mufti Taqi says, Damat Barakatum, fame and love for status and acceptance is bad in terms of religion, but in reality it is also bad relative to worldly comfort too. Even worldly comfort, it is detrimental to that. Man is of no use because of it. So why should man hanker after such worthless things, and why should he be jealous of others because of it? Oh, if people pay more attention to others than to you, if people pay more attention to others than to you, then you must be pleased, because they accomplish more than half the task you have to do otherwise. They have accomplished more than half the task you have to do otherwise. Hence, thank Allah for that, and do not be jealous. Summary. Nevertheless, if sincerity adorns the heart, that's the key thing, boy. That's a big, big, big thing. Even shaitan can't battle with that. Illa ibadaka minhumul muqlasin. If sincerity and ikhlas adorns the heart, then jealousy is uprooted. Thus, to keep jealousy away, let sincerity and ikhlas grow in every deed you do. Every deed you do. To keep jealousy away, let sincerity grow in every deed you do. As sincerity grows, inshallah, jealousy will be eliminated. May Allah cause us to put this teaching in practice. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Next week, inshallah.